Welcome back to the Urban Vibe Podcast. We are here today talking about our new member and returning member, me and
Allison.
And just about what we're doing in school and how it is going.
There may or may not be someone else joining us. That's going to be up to the fates. Do you think we should get started with the first question? So,
well, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Really, this is several questions in one, but it's more of an introduction. So my name is Allison. I am from southeastern Iowa. I grew up between Albia and Ottumwa. I'm doing the English transfer program, and I'm looking to transfer to the University of Limerick in Western Ireland. I think that's my my goal and maybe my dream school. And my academic journey so far hasn't been all that exciting. I'd like to undertake something that's a bit more of a commitment.
And then I am Vic. I'm from the South Side, but I've lived all over the country. And I'm working on my associates right now in journalism and communications. And I'm thinking about transferring to an in-state university afterwards. And I am really interested to hear about what classes you are taking this semester.
So many of my classes are the classes that freshmen of a community college tend to take. I'm taking orientation and composition. I have actually taken composition already in high school, AP composition. So I think taking it again has been really interesting because I'm able to rather than like trial and error and failing as many assignments, I feel, not failing, but not knowing where to go with assignments. Now I feel like I have a foundation and I know what's being looked for way better than I did before. Now a lot of my classes are related to English and writing, which matches, of course, my program, and that would be like contemporary literature, digital media production, which is the class we're in at the moment, and also composition, like I mentioned. I'm also taking regional geography of the non-Western world, America in the movies, and an orientation class, which, of course, is one of those that freshmen typically take.
Do you have a full schedule?
Yes, I'm taking six, half online and half in person. What about yourself?
So I bounced between part-time and full-time. Like, mm-hmm. I did one full-time semester, but I started off with just doing an orientation and comp one, like you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But since I work and I have the kids, I try to take two or three classes at once. For this semester, I'm taking this class we're in right now, digital media productions, but also environmental science. And the teacher I have focuses on a lot about sustainability. So we're learning about sustainability in environmental science, which is very cool. And then for that third slot, instead of taking a full class, I did just go ahead and take the lab for science.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had never been in a lab class before, like not even in high school, so I was nervous. It is online, so that consists of like going out and doing like adventures by myself. So last week I took my best friend to like, we had to go to a cemetery to data collect, so I found myself in the woodland cemetery hanging out with like Des Moines' oldest heroes, I guess. There was like the first firefighter that died in service, mm-hmm. and war veterans and stuff. So that was kind of interesting. Just as it's a very DMAC thing to do, I think.
Absolutely.
Is take an online course and then have to go on adventures.
I think environmental science was a really interesting class. It's actually the only credit I have going into college, and it's one that...
Oh, you don't have to retake it.
Yeah. I really did enjoy that. I think getting out into the field and it being like a literal field is hilarious to me.
Just makes sense. It's human. It's human.
It's human.
Maybe at the end of the semester I'll give you my my textbook to flip through. Because it is, course, it's an interesting textbook as well. It has a lot of information that... I always like the blending between like real life and textbooks, and this leans into that. Mm-hmm. So instead of reading about a concept or like a historical event that you don't really feel connected to, this is a good, like, it's a good education book to feel connected to the material. And it's up to date. So it's not like it's like in 1995 and they're like, climate change isn't real. You know, it's not like that. But other than classes and assignments and writing, what else do you do when it comes to being a student at DMAG?
Well, I am really interested in several clubs. I don't know exactly which ones I'm going to stick with, but I can still hear that from my mic. I think Journalism Club is going to branch me out to all of them, and really I just want to keep an eye on events and dates, you know, what's going on the campus, because I feel as though, I mean, every group that I've met with so far has been very welcoming, and I don't know. I'd like to meet more of them. How about yourself?
The Urban Vibe is the only one I'm in, like, this semester. Mm-hmm. I'm also in, it's not really a club, but I'm part of the Honors Society, and I have to go and I have to do, like, an extra project and take special classes. So that's just an extra thing I do. I don't think it can, like, it's a club, but it definitely is something that I'm doing on the side. Last year, I went to a couple of the GSA meetings, but it seems to be for most of the people in that club have graduated or they have changed, like, where they're getting educated at. Like, I think one person said that they went to beauty school instead of returning to DMAC, and we had a bunch of ISU transfers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there is anybody left in the GSA this year.
I would like to hear about it. I don't know when they meet or anything. I
can introduce you to the teacher.
Okay.
I almost said lived. Her office is like right around the corner here. Mm-hmm. But that was a super cool and fun time. They had a lot of cool events. Like last year we went to the LGBT party, which was everybody dressed up in really cool hats. And we had tea, and they gave away teacups. And I still have my little teacup on my bookshelf at home. I've been trying to branch out more into, like, the student life stuff because they think fostering community right now is super important. And, you know, either you pay a lot of money or somebody pays a lot of money for you to come to school, right? And when you go to these clubs and you go to these activities and you show up for those events, usually you're gaining something. Even if it's just connection with other people, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But when we went to the back-to-school event, like, I had school supplies. Usually there's, like, food events. You get fed, so you don't have to buy a lunch that day. Like, that's all worked in to you, like, to you coming and paying tuition. Just like the services, use the counselor service. Use any resources they give you, because, like, somebody's paid for it.
Absolutely. And, I mean, so far my, like, outreach and my experience on campus, I've met some really fascinating characters.
Well, urban campus is usually people talk about it being one of the more diverse and like fun campuses for that reason. That's usually what I hear about urban campuses. So that's such a good time. I think that the professors usually are a little bit more laid back, at least from the experience of the people that I know here. They like kind of prefer the urban campus as well as like the classmates. You know, you can learn a lot from other people around you, and there's such a good, diverse mix of people here that it really works out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't feel like there's... Like, everybody's coming, approaching their classes with totally different background, and it doesn't really feel like there's, I don't know, like an average that you have to compare yourself against, I suppose. Because, I mean, there's so much, there's so many differences between everyone that I mean, there's very little to average.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I just think people mm-hmm. in, like, Ankeny sometimes feel they're pretty locked in.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And I'm not saying, like, that's every single class there, and that's not everybody's experience. But I do know a couple people there that was, like, once I came to Urban, like, the people that I met taught me about stuff that I had not even considered. Because, like, you're coming to school with, like, 60-year-olds sometimes. You're coming mm-hmm. to school with, like, people that have been in the workforce their entire life that, you know, they just grew up different than somebody who was... got out of school, went to college, and then got, like, an office job. They were like, no, I was, like, mining, you know? And it just offers that different perspective, and I really enjoy that. I also like having access to, like, downtown Des Moines.
Absolutely. And I very often walk into campus taking photos of the downtown view because it's just right on the horizon.
Do you still get excited to see, like, the city and stuff, like, in a very, like, cliche
yes.
country girl kind of way?
Absolutely.
Trying to escape from the farm?
I think it's kind of an oasis. In a...
There's a term for it in environmental science. And of
really?
Course I just learned it. And mm-hmm. of course I just forgot it. I think it's called shimmering light syndrome, possibly. Glimmering lights syndrome. I don't know. It's the term itself is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, because usually in environmental science, it's like, oh, the earth is dying. Humans are killing themselves. But this one was like shimmering light syndrome. Like, you know, get out of your small town, move to the big city. Like, it's so fun. And so it's like almost wholesome in a way to look at it.
I know nothing about what you're talking about. Maybe you took a different class than I did. I didn't know it.
I think it's just one of those small parts of the textbook that I think, like I was talking about earlier, like really humanized the subject.
Absolutely.
Like the way that they talk about it, they're like, and this is how people react to the things that are happening in science. And it's like about people and not, like it is about the environment, but it has such a focus on like the demographic.
Mm-hmm.
That humans...
Sociology.
Yeah, like, stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that take. And that's just one example from it. But what are you reading anything? Are you listening to anything right now? Are you watching something?
So, I would say there's a song I've been listening to every single morning recently. And it's a song by The Platters. I don't believe that they wrote it. But they have the version of it with the backing vocal. And with that, it just transcends what it was before their version. And the song is called My Prayer. It's almost like, I feel... like physically drawn to it. Like I don't feel right if I haven't heard it.
I love that.
It's every morning
that.
When I wake up, it needs to be running through my head so I can even think straight, you know?
That's a fun feeling. I used to get that way about music when I was a little bit younger,
mm-hmm.
and I hope to one day rediscover something like that. And what I think it may be, which I was gonna mention for my media spotlight here, is I've regressed back into being a My Chemical Romance fan. Like, I was my entire
mm-hmm.
childhood, I was like probably 9 or 10,
mm-hmm.
went to a My Chemical Romance concert at 11. Like, I don't know what my parents were doing. So, got out of them when I grew up, you know, after, like, 18 or 19. They still would play, and I would still like it, but, like, it wasn't like I was sitting here being like, oh, my God, the band members. They went on tour again this year. Mm-hmm. I've been watching it every Saturday night. You would have thought I was at the, like, what are they called? The arenas. I almost called it a Coliseum. Like, this was HA Room. But I've been watching them go. I think they're going to release their new album. I'm looking out for it. I've never felt this way about a band. I've never been like, oh, my gosh, they're going to drop on the September 17th. Like, I've never done that. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I hope at the end of this tour, they're about to go to the UK. I think they just did their last show in Florida. After that, I think they're going to drop their next album. And it's been, like, 10 years, mind you, from the last time they dropped an album that wasn't, like, pre-recorded in the studio since they broke up.
Did they have a fourth one? Because I can see the covers in my head of the first, the second, and the third. Was there another one after, like, the one in 2009?
Yes, yeah, it was Danger Days. It was the comic book one.
I don't know. I never really liked My Chemical Romance other than a certain song. And that one is Early Sunsets Over Monroeville on the very first album. I actually don't really like anything other than the first album, I'll admit. I'm a contrarian.
Was that Bullets? I think it's Bullets. Yeah. It's a good album. It's a great album. Of course, since it's September, I will mention that whole album was inspired by September 11th. Like, just odd facts about that album.
I think most things in that year were. At least fair in the second half.
Yeah, fair enough. If you had gone to September, yeah. I don't know if they put it out that year, like, at the end of the year or the year after, but that was the moment he started writing those songs.
I would say, like, most of the Bush administration was inspired by the September 11th attacks. We might have to clip that, but, you know, now we're getting into color commentary.
Well, that was the same stuff, weirdly enough, that does tie more into My Chemical Romance, but I'm not going to make people sit here and listen to me or drop about My Chem for, I could do it for 4 hours, so I'm not going to do it. But I am excited for the album coming out. I'm excited to maybe get my hands on tickets on a different tour, because I'm going to tell you before we go what happened and why I didn't go. Mm-hmm. When the My Chemical Romance website contacted me through the email, I didn't believe them. I didn't even think twice about not believing them. I saw that they said My Chemical Romance will be releasing tickets, pre-sale, whatever. I didn't think it was actually going to happen. Because the last time they did this and I tried to buy tickets, COVID happened. And it just didn't happen. And I guess that left like a mark or a bruise on me. So when they announced the retour, and I could have gotten myself in line, because I'm a full-grown adult, mind you. I'm 27 years old. I could get out there, and I could go to a My Chemical Romance concert.
And, you know, for me, the band that did that was Faith No More. I still haven't seen them, because it was 2021, yes, October, and they were going to play a show with System of a Down and Russian Circles, and they were going to get back together for the first time, I think maybe since 2006 or something like that. And the lead singer had kind of like a mental health episode. And, well, I don't want to, like, you know, try to tell anybody, like, what happened, because I have no clue. But, it very quickly went from, like, oh, Faith No More is going to get back together and they're going to do all these shows and it's going to be great, to, like, they're not even considering ever coming back again. And, like, the thing is, we got tickets and we went. And they, a week before the show, switched out Faith No More with Korn, and we had to watch Korn. And I don't like Korn, and I have no idea why they think that those two things are comparable, because they are not.
I was just about to say,
they are not comparable.
But I wouldn't enjoy it if I went to go see like Adam Lambert in concert, and then Korn was there. I don't know, it's not a band you could just sneak into any lineup.
And the thing is, they What they did is, like, they said, you can ask for a refund. I don't know if the Mac just closed. You can ask for a refund, but...
Don't get your feelings too, like, don't get your standards too high. Hopes, I guess. Don't get your hopes high.
Well, I think the policy was, like, if you ask for a refund, then it's only, like, a... Like, they don't even pay you the full ticket price back.
Yeah, you get, like, a partial refund because it's like, oh, well, cause you saw it's the just, other two bands.
This actually isn't, like, the top of the lineup. System of Down is the top of the lineup, but... Do you know much about them?
Yeah, I love System of the Down.
I do too.
I love all the extra work too.
I'm not a big fan of Korn.
You're back on that. Yeah, like I just remember being in that crowd of people and being like, I don't want to be
no,
here.
No, like Russian Circles is a band that's fully instrumental. They don't have a singer, and they played a better show than Korn. And they played like a show that was maybe 15 or 20 minutes long. And Korn played for like 2 hours, and they just went on and on, and they had the song with the bag of pipes. I'm being it's contrarian.
That's my favorite song.
Really,
Sheets
it is.
Sheets of Ladders. the one with the bagpipes. I would never want to hear it in live. I would never want to hear it live with a bunch of screaming, who I would assume is inebriated men.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I would never want to be in that room though. I've listened to that song since I was a baby. I was raised on that song. I could not go person to see that show.
You would
I saw
break
Slipknot.
Into tears.
I saw Slipknot on the reunion with Marilyn Manson. It was terrible. Slipknot themselves was not terrible. Manson? Don't go see a Manson show. I don't know why you would after all the whole putting people in glass boxes thing. But, like, don't go. It's just not a good... You don't want to spend that money with the kind of money Manson expects you to pay to see him. It was like probably $140 a ticket to see Slipknot and Manson together. And he just wasn't a good show. He was just really boring.
He wants to set the price high, but he also like really relies on the crowd to even like...
Yeah, he kind of relies on him being Marilyn Manson for somebody to... Because that's, like, the shock value, right? It's like, oh, I'm at a Manson concert, which was so much cooler in 1992, so I'm not sure why we're still doing this. But he pulls out the same tricks, like, the same tricks my father saw when Manson was on tour doing his stuff before the makeup and before everything, which I love, by the way. I love it. Self-express, whatever. But before all that, he was doing the same stuff on stage that my father described to me.
And I think that kind of comes back to, like, old dogs, you know? Sometimes old dogs, they can't learn new tricks.
No, he was messing them up, though. Like, there's one part where he lights a very important religious text on fire, and he does it every single show, and it's like, this is what made people want him to be locked up in the first place as part of it. You know, lighting a Bible on fire is pretty important. He couldn't light the Bible on fire. He stood there for, like, 3 minutes with a lighter, trying his best. Mm-hmm. It didn't light on fire. What's going on? Dude, that's what you've
that's
been doing.
That's almost more interesting.
You've been doing this for 25 years. Mm-hmm. Like, so I wouldn't pay the money to go see one of those bands. Not again.
Interesting.
It was enough. It was my 18th birthday concert. Uh-huh. Slipknot.
Did they still have Joey Jordison?
I don't know.
You were 18. I don't know when he died, but I know he died.
I think it was after, because this was the reunion show.
I don't know. It would have been, what, like 9 years ago?
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess maybe...
It was around 2018, 2017, 2018.
I don't know.
So that would have been right on the line, because you're talking about the
I don't know.
I don't know
the date or anything.
I always mix up their names, which is really unfortunate, and it makes me feel bad, because I know these people are very important to people in Iowa.
Okay, but he's, like, he's one of the most distinct ones, because he's the drummer. Like, there are other drummers, but, like, he's the one in the drum set.
And I hear you, and I know you are so right, in my head, all the dudes in the mask.
It's because they wear masks?
All the dudes in the mask are the same dude. Every single person. It's not Corey Taylor, because mind you, I don't like Corey Taylor. It's just Slipknot guy. It's like a conglomerate of each one. And I know they all have personalities and lore and backstory. I know that. And you could spend hours telling me about it. But when I turn on Psychosocial, I just see Slipknot guy. Like, you know what I mean? I just see all the masks in one.
I mean, they do wear masks, so they're not really asking their, like, personalities to be
well, it's like, part of their performance. It's like Sleep Token. It's like part, like, they're all dressed up, and it's like they have their own storylines, and they, like, through the music, they talk about it. I wish, if it was My Chemical Romance, I could tell you. But that's the only one I really, I really got really hard into. As, like, a teenager. Like, I could tell you their birthdays and stuff.
Okay, we've talked about music a lot. Should we discuss any more media, or do you think we should focus on wrapping it up?
I don't think we should discuss our favorite media, but if anybody is still listening, buy a hardcover book, buy a magazine, buy a tabloid, mm-hmm. buy a bookmark this semester. If you buy something that's not a textbook, put, you know, appreciate media.
I remember
physical copies.
I remember there was, like, a copy of Globe magazine, and I don't know where it came from, but it was just, like, in this space, and it was from the 1980s, and one of the stories was about how Elizabeth II was actually a Nazi, and, like, was seen giving a salute. And, you know, tabloids
Globe magazine.
Tabloids are something that I feel like they were so much more novel when they were in print. And it's like now that it's all just like an algorithm, I don't feel any joy when I see tabloids.
I understand. It's like they lost their heart.
Yes.
They lost the hunt somehow. If it's not TMZ, you've lost your fire.
And I'm not saying that they were a good thing before. I'm just saying that there was a novelty to be found.
Absolutely.
In the level of low that they would go to. But it's something that, I mean, maybe it's just because the print era is so removed from our current world that, I mean, maybe it's just nostalgia.
When I was a kid, we still did tabloids. You could go get the Enquirer, I think that's one of them. Like, you could go to the store and get that stuff. I want to know why it's the same stories that were happening in the early 2000s. Because if you walked into any tabloid, right, the front cover, who would you see? JonBenet Ramsey. You would see the royal family.
Oh, yeah.
If you walk into a like a bookstore right now and found a tabloid, mm-hmm. the two subjects I would bet money are on that cover.
Prince Andrew.
Is somebody of the royal family, if it's about Meghan or not.
It's Andrew.
And JonBenet Ramsey. Do you know how many people have gone missing since JonBenet Ramsey, unfortunately? Like, rest in peace.
I don't know how many people have
gone missing. But they just don't like to cover other people. Or Casey Anthony. You can throw Casey Anthony in there. Like, those are the three people, at least in the South, that circulated in 2005 till 2025 right now. Those are the three subjects they focus on.
And I reckon a lot of their viewer base comes back for the tabloids, right? They read about something. They read about something when they were 10 years old, and now they're like what happened? What development has happened in this story? Because nobody cares about this story.
Nothing.
Who cares about Prince Andrew? You know, but I mean, I really do think that their market are people who have investment in these stories, just because they thought this was real news at one point in their lives, and they would love to go back to that reality, you know?
It's kind of like when courtroom TV got popular in, like, the 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
It gives me the same vibe. And I think courtroom TV has a different vibe than other reality TV. Like, it's not like Jersey Shore. It's its own... Like, Judge Judy is her own icon. Mm-hmm. Judge Judy has outlived a lot of, like, presidents of that company. Like, the publishing company. You know what I mean? She's been on air. She's been there. Same thing with Springer until he died. So, like, it's his own thing. I think tabloids are their own thing, and, like, they're not good. Misinformation is not good. Fake news is not good.
I think that, like, reality TV in some ways was kind of replacing tabloids for a time. And then now it's, like, reality TV is being replaced by,
Well, it's content houses.
Yes, content houses. That's the perfect term for it. I was trying to think of a way to break it into words that, was free of expletives and over-exaggerations and such.
Well, we aren't going to start a content house, even though that's very similar to what a newsroom is.
And I think... I think a lot of content houses quite like the idea of a podcast. I would like to cover stories, though, and not just, ramble on about what's important to us. Though I think that is a very fun activity, and it is helpful for getting us together, learning the tools, and, getting more comfortable having conversations.
Yeah, everybody loves a good connection. Well, this is the end of the show for today. But if anybody does have any suggestions for what they want to hear about, write it down on a piece of paper and slide it under the door. Have a good day.